This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You hear about crimes like this, and your mind immediately goes to the brutality, the shock, the details, the manhunt. But what happens to the people left behind? What happens to the ones who witnessed it, lived through it, and still woke up the next day with no idea how to begin surviving it? In this case, it's two little girls, 7 and 9 years old. They watched a man stab their father in the chest. They heard their mother scream, "Why are you doing this?" and then yell for them to run as fast and far as they could. They obeyed. They ran until they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore. That's their words. Let that sink in. A good Samaritan found them on the trail, brought them to the safety of the ranger house, and called 911. That's how the story got out, and that's where our conversation begins. Today, I'm joined by psychotherapist and trauma specialist Siobhan Scott, someone who doesn't just study trauma, but lives in the reality of what comes after. She's also author of this book, Nightbird. It is her own memoir of the trauma that she has gone through and how she navigated it. We're talking about what this kind of violence does to a child's brain, what it means to lose both parents in front of your eyes, what nightmares look like when they aren't abstract, but rooted in a moment you can't escape. We get into how trauma expresses itself physically in kids, how it rewires their ability to feel safe in the world, how it can leave a permanent imprint, even if they didn't have the words for it yet. And we're not talking about just the children. We're talking about the family that now suddenly becomes guardian, parent, therapist, protector all at once. This isn't an episode about speculation. It's about what we know. That trauma like this doesn't go away, but it can be worked with. It can be navigated. And it's going to take everything. Therapy, time, patience, and a level of support most families are never prepared to give, but now have to. So I asked Siobhan, what happens next? What can be done for these girls, not just this week, but 5 years from now? And how does a family suddenly handed this weight even begin to carry it? Let's get into it.
Yeah, there's nothing more complicated when it comes to grief and trauma than a case like this, with kids in particular. And their lives are never going to be the same. You know, we want to try to give them as much supportive therapy as we can possibly give, but they're changed. They're different. And that doesn't mean that they're ruined or they're not going to have good lives themselves, but their lives are going to be very different. It's a different trajectory than what it would have been.
I mean, what they witnessed is shocking, heartbreaking. I mean, it is the stuff straight out of nightmares. What we learned, I mean, exclusively here, way talking with the 911 dispatcher was, and this is the account that the children gave, as raw and real as it gets. They were out, you know, they've been hiking a lot. I looked at their Facebook page. It seems that they were really starting to enjoy the area. They had been here about 3 weeks. They'd moved from Montana to this area, another big hiking community. That's what people do here. It is hiking. We have the largest bike trail path in the nation that interconnects all of these cities from Prairie Grove to Bentonville to Rogers to Fayetteville. It's a big interconnected community, and people absolutely love it. People come here just for the hiking and the outdoor activities. And they were enjoying it. They have pictures of their family out, and this should have been just any other normal day. But what they witnessed was a man approach dad on this trail, stab him directly in the chest, allegedly, according to those kids. And then mom screams, "Why are you doing this?" And then yells at her kids to run as fast and far as they can, to which they did, and to which a good Samaritan on the path who was out having a normal day got the kids to the ranger station, which they called 911. The kids also said that They didn't identify the individual. They thought it was a stranger, according to them, at least to their knowledge of who mom and dad had any sort of interactions with. I mean, that sort of trauma right there. I mean, how do those memories imprint on a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old? And how does this sort of thing evolve over time?
You know, it's hard to say how it evolves. They would have a very visceral physical reaction to stress and trauma, and I think have a lot of physical symptoms. You often see kids with, you know, headaches and stomach aches and other physical complaints after something like this. The big thing is going to be their nightmares. I would bet that they're going to have a very hard time sleeping, and they will replay this kind of event in their dreams, and that may go on for most of their lives. There are things that therapists try to do to help them process, things like play therapy, art therapy, EMDR. But really, we can't erase this. We just can't. And so that's the thing that's so tragic about it. It's like this kind of violence, it permeates and doesn't ever go away. And it doesn't just affect the people that are killed. It affects all their loved ones. And so they have a state of this biological hypervigilance where they just don't ever feel safe in the world for good reason. Mm-hmm. They'll always be waiting for a bad surprise.
And that's unfortunately going to haunt them forever. I'm not trying to find any sort of silver lining here because I don't think there is one. But compared to an adult on the trail, let's say there had been another adult with him. There was other people, another couple that we had talked to saw the killer and witnessed him come up to them, look them up and down, and kept on moving. Had, you know, in theory, let's say that they attacked a group of four adults. How would an adult, matured brain handle this trauma differently than that of the children? Is there any positive to the fact that they were younger when this took place versus an adult having this take place in front of them? Or is it more traumatic because they were children?
I think it's more traumatic when they're kids because they don't have the psychological resources to put it into context, to really understand how isolated this kind of event is. It's going to feel more bigger and global to them and really impact their sense of safety in the world. So they don't have a history of 25, 30, 45 years of moving through the world and feeling safe. You know, this has become their reality now at a very young age. And they also may be more prone to, as they grow older, survivor's guilt. Why did we survive? Was there something we could have done? Whereas an adult may be able to put that in a more realistic context and understand that, no, it was not their fault. There was nothing they could have done. But kids would have a harder time with that.
Without a doubt. I mean, just trying to process this, you know, as an adult is difficult as we try to put the pieces together. Why would this take place? Why did this happen to begin with? Left with just so many questions about all of that. I mean, if you were speaking directly to the guardians now, I believe they're with family from what we understand. Obviously, the first thing anyone is going to say, you get them into therapy. Of course, that would be a good thing. But beyond, I mean, what, there's got to be specific. This has got to be something they're going to really have to look at more so, I would say, with a scalpel than just let's find a therapist online and hope for the best. What would you be advising them? Because this is quite a trauma. What are the next steps for this family and the people who are going to try and help these children heal?
It's going to be a long haul, a long road. Be prepared for an emotional roller coaster of a lot of intense feelings. Support them, comfort them, keep them safe, you know, from the environment. Keep the media tuned out so that they're not exposed to continually being re-traumatized with triggers from things that they see or hear about or watch. Comfort, whatever comforts them. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging because I'm sure sometimes it will seem like nothing works. But just understand that it's going to take patience, time, and, you know, a lot of teaching them to soothe and calm their nervous systems down. So keeping a regular routine with bedtime, a lot of soothing activities at bedtime, and, you know, still as much as possible, encouraging them to find pleasant moments. You know, this is where I think animals, pets, can be really soothing for kids and help them rediscover joy. But that may take a while. It's going to be rough for a time.
I know some of the family is watching this, so I know your words are going to mean a lot in terms of, you know, helping them find some direction, because this is, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine being in that place. I mean, let's talk about, you know, the individuals who are now left out of nowhere. Suddenly they're in the custody of two young girls who just lost their parents. I mean, the trauma of that as well for a family member. What would you advise them to do for themselves so they can be there for those two little girls the best that they can after an unimaginable situation?
I think families really benefit from survivor groups. You know, there are often in, I don't know Arkansas very well or where the kids are at, but often there are groups for people who have lost loved ones in a violent crime or some kind of violence. And I think that's very helpful because you just need a place to talk about your feelings. And sometimes hearing the stories of other survivors, it just helps you know that you're normal and that these intense emotions, you do work through them over time and life does begin to feel better. But again, everybody's impacted differently. We've all got different resources. And some people, you know, they may feel like they're going crazy for a while and that's normal. That's okay. And so I think just giving people a place to talk about their feelings and, you know, doing the practical things, avoiding nervous system stimulants. It's not a time for a lot of caffeine, a lot of alcohol. People try to self-medicate. That typically just makes it worse. So we encourage, again, eat healthy, try to get sleep. If you are finding that you really can't regulate your mood or you're having crying episodes and can't stop, panic attacks, talk with a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse practitioner, you know, because sometimes the medication, somebody can take something just, even if it's on a temporary basis that helps them sleep again. God knows I went through a trauma where I needed to do that and I'm grateful for it, you know. Mm-hmm. There are things that can be done medically to help people just start to regulate their nervous system again. And I think we have to try everything that's helpful.
And that's 1,000% true. I'm not trying to sell your book right now, but I'm going to sell your book right now. Nightbird, this is your memoir. You've gone through tremendous trauma and you write about your road to recovery and getting back to yourself in there. So I do suggest this definitely to be somewhat of a roadmap for people who are going through trauma and finding a path. But that's, yeah, I mean, you certainly come with the reps and the experience to say exactly what you just said. There's no fix for this. That's the hardest truth to sit with. No therapy can undo what those two little girls saw. No amount of time will make them forget the sounds, the sights, the smell of the woods that day. That's the reality they now live in. But what Siobhan Scott laid out is the other side of that truth. There is a path forward. It's not easy. It is not fast, but it's possible. With the right kind of therapy, EMDR, play-focused, trauma-focused approaches, these kids can learn to navigate life again without staying frozen in that moment forever. And the people who now care for them, they're going to need just as much support. Not just to be strong, but to be human. Because taking in a child who's lost both parents violently, unexpectedly, and traumatically is more than a guardianship. It's a lifelong trauma partnership. And if that guardian doesn't take care of their own mental health, their ability to help those kids drops fast. Siobhan talked about biology and the reality of trauma. How it affects the nervous system, sleep, physical symptoms. This isn't just sadness or fear. It's body deep, gut level rewiring. And it's why these next few months matter so much. Routine, safety, calming activities, pets, comforting environments, consistent bedtime, all of it becomes a kind of medicine. And for the adults, survivor support groups, community, and when necessary, medical help. Sometimes a few weeks of sleep meds can make a difference between barely functioning and beginning to process grief. This isn't about fixing anything. It's about guiding people through the darkest part of something they'll never fully leave behind. And for anyone watching, if you're close to this family or to a family going through something like it, please be patient, be present, be consistent. That's what helps. If you're listening to this and you know of resources in the Northwest Arkansas area, go ahead and post it in our comment section on our video on YouTube. If you've lived through something similar and want to offer perspective, we also want to hear from you as well. Your voice can be heard, like I said, on our comment section on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find the video version of this if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms. Survival's going to take a village, and this family, they've just inherited the kind of grief no one trains for. Let us know your thoughts on YouTube. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts and on YouTube as well, so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we follow for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.